edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
It's bad. When we start laughing before they even turn the microphones on, we are in trouble.
As they would say in the airlines, fasten your seatbelts, put your tray in the upright position, we're getting ready to take off.
So,
yes?
I accept the nomination.
For?
Whatever it is you want to nominate me for.
Cat of the day?
Yes, and from the background we hear meow. Okay.
That was such a catty comment.
Yeah, sometimes I just want to scratch my eyes out when I'm with you. Yeah, anyway.
I'm almost catatonic.
Here's your first hint. This is your trivia question from history.com.
Yes.
Okay, what did these eight men have in common?
Okay.
William Henry Harrison, Zachary Taylor, Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, William McKinley, Warren Harding, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and John F. Kennedy.
Well, long names?
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all had the same job.
What's really funny is that they all died in some stupid way.
Well, yeah.
You know, but...
They were all presidents that died in office.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Zachary Taylor had gastroenteritis. Yeah. Warren Harding had a heart attack. Roosevelt had a cerebral hemorrhage. William Henry Harrison had pneumonia, and the rest were all killed by assassins.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what was that, like every 20 years or something like that, one died in office by assassination?
Oh, really?
Yeah, something I didn't know weird. That. Huh? Yeah.
It's the what curse? Never mind. So, Joe, do you know what an election is? When the air is full of speeches and vice versa.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We are doing a show today on...
politics without being political.
Right. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Have you seen the volume of commercials on the TV? It is to the point where...
Oh, every year.
Nauseating.
Every year. And I love how they find the worst picture of the candidate that they're slamming.
Of each other. Yeah.
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 Like, where did they get that? Yeah. And they're not Photoshopped. They actually have made that face sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes it's the middle of a comment or something, and it's like so funny because you're like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. makes you appreciate real TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, curious words, curious sayings and words. The elephant and donkey.
Which I thought about forever. Like, why? Why?
Good question.
So, here's the answer.
And this is from history.com. The Democratic Party's donkey and the Republican Party's elephant have been on the political scene since the 19th century. The origins of the Democratic donkey can be traced to the 1828 presidential campaign of Andrew Jackson. During that race, opponents of the Jacksons called him a jackbutt.
You can say the word. That's not a bad word.
I don't want to be censored.
Oh, okay.
Nobody should say jackass on the radio.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. However, rather than rejecting the label, Jackson, the hero of the War of 1812, who later served in the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, was amused by it and included an image of the animal in the campaign posters. In the 1870s, influential political cartoonist Thomas Nast helped popularize the donkey as a symbol for the entire Democratic Party.
The Republican Party was formed in 1854, and 6 years later, Abraham Lincoln became its first member, elected to the White House. An image of an elephant was featured as a Republican symbol in at least one political cartoon and newspaper illustration during the Civil War, when seeing the elephant was an expression used by soldiers to mean experiencing combat.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was the Republican Party before they became the Republican Party? The Whigs.
Oh, really?
I can see that symbol on the...
I think the elephant wearing a wig would be
bouffant hairdo.
Yes. Something from Dr. Seuss. I have a top 10 list.
Uh-oh. That means we have...
11.
Yes.
Yeah. From humorlabs.com. This is one of the weirder ones.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the top 11 differences if the president were a monkey. To which I said, are there that many differences?
So what you're saying is normal.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
So number 11 is, under threat of an embargo, Yeltsin quickly apologizes for the USSR's early space program.
Number 10, the National Endowment for the Arts replaced by a room full of president relatives with typewriters.
Ooh. First president in diapers since the Reagan years. I'm sorry, Ronald.
Number 8, Pauly Shore receives a Presidential Achievement Medal in the Arts.
He played recently. He was actually at a local comedy club.
Oh, was, yeah, that's right, he was.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked.
I don't know, I didn't see it.
The NRA banquet ends badly with Charlton Heston shouting, "Get your filthy paws off me, you dirty ape."
Number 6, new director of the FBI, Lancelot Link, sacred chimp.
That's frightening that she can do that well.
As long as she doesn't start flinging poo, we're good.
Oh, speaking of which, number 5, State of the Union address reduced to 3 minutes of dung tossing and chest thumping instead of 90 minutes of dung tossing and chest thumping.
Number 4, President IQ now only 10 points higher than Rush Limbaugh's. Mm.
3, to deflect attention from recent scandal, President appears on Tonight Show riding a unicycle. Don't do it. We're going to be nonpartisan. I can see.
Number 2, during the press conference, the president eats lice from the president eats lice from Sam Donaldson's toupee.
Oh, and the number 1 difference, if the president were a monkey?
On executive decisions, silly toothy grin means yes. Loud raspering means no.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was fun. Who do we love?
Huh?
What do we love? We love dumb criminals.
Oh. I'm trying to go down my list. Which one do I pick?
Anyway, this one is from dumbcriminals.com, and it's called
dumbcriminals.com.
Not-so-capital idea.
Okay.
People who go out of their way to make a threat against a political leader known to people who have the ability to throw you in jail is stupid. Not knowing your basic civics at the same time is the topper.
One man learned that the president doesn't actually work in the Capitol building the hard way, according to CNN. A man actually drove up to the Capitol building with a rifle in his vehicle in plain sight. I'll bet he was even wearing a seatbelt.
And he then went up to a barricade surrounding the Capitol building and told officials that he had a package for President Obama. Not only was his idea dumb, but he didn't even get the building right. Something tells me he might work for the U.S. Postal Service.
Oh,
ouch.
Ooh. Ooh.
Nah, nah, nah.
Ooh.
And...
That's just wrong.
It's just... Most of this is just so wrong. Story time.
Yay, from RD.com.
Which is Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
Well, you said RD here, so I was just...
I was just expounding.
I thought expounding meant to extrapolate or to expand it.
I am, and it says RD.com, and so I expounded it to Reader'sDigest.com.
Okay.
Are we going to talk grammar? I don't think so.
Oh, no. I'll never win that game. Surely, as I said, I ain't never going to win that game. I mean, down south, y'all know what I mean. Anyways, the difference between Republicans and Democrats.
A woman in a hot air balloon is lost, so she shouts to the man below, "Excuse me, I promised a friend I would meet him, but I don't know where I am."
You're at 31 degrees, 14.57 minutes north latitude, 100 degrees, 49.09 minutes west longitude, he replies.
You must be a Democrat.
I am. How do you know?
Because everything you told me is technically correct, but the information is useless, and I'm still lost. Frankly, you have been no help.
Oh, you must be a Republican.
Yes. How did you know?
You've risen to where you're due to a lot of hot air and made a promise you couldn't keep, and you expect me to solve your problem. You're in exactly the same position you were in before we met, but somehow now it's my fault.
Equal opportunity. Yeah.
A tit for a tat.
I know. We just made everyone mad.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I thought that was fun. So.
You can reach me at...
No, you can reach Joe at...
My name is not Joe.
Vladimir.
Vladimir, that is my name now, Vladimir.
I'm Katrina.
From the Fast Facts from History.com.
Yes.
Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the U.S. Constitution has only three requirements for a president. Must be at least 35 years old, have lived in the United States for at least 14 years, and be a neutral, natural-born citizen.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Think it wouldn't be so hard to find one.
Especially, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Kennedy is the youngest elected president at 43, mm-hmm. while Reagan is the oldest elected president at 73 in his second term.
The only president and vice president to never be elected to the office was Gerald Ford. He became vice president when Spiro Agnew resigned and became president when Nixon resigned.
Yeah, you could kind of say he fell into the job.
True.
I've been holding that line for days. And I get up. Okay. The tallest U.S. president. The tallest U.S. president.
I'll tell you, no respect. No respect at all.
The tallest U.S. president was Abraham Lincoln at 6'4". The shortest U.S. president was James Madison at 5'4".
James Buchanan is the only bachelor to be elected president.
Hmm.
And Ronald Reagan is the only divorced man to be elected president.
Huh.
The U.S. Marine Band has played at every presidential inauguration since 1801.
President John Tyler is believed to be the first to use Hail to the Chief as the official presidential honors.
And Victoria Woodhull became the first woman to run for president in 1872.
Was not Hillary.
Not Hillary. And she's from Ohio.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. There's a plaque somewhere down south in Ohio where the member...
Where it said, you lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like anybody back in those times was going to vote for a woman. But at least she tried.
At least she tried. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Yeah. So we got some just jokes.
Cool.
Found another good website. OneLineFun.com.
Okay.
So these are short jokes.
Okay. America is a country which produces citizens who will cross the ocean to fight for the democracy, but won't cross the street to vote.
That's not funny at all.
It's true.
Politicians in diapers have one thing in common. They should both be changed regularly and for the same reason. Yeah.
A fine is a tax for doing wrong. A tax is a fine for doing well.
Hmm.
Ooh.
My favorite mythical creature? The honest politician.
Now that there's myth.
Yeah. That's funny.
I don't approve of political jokes. I've seen too many of them get elected.
Don't take a drink of water when Joe's talking. I remember when Halloween was the scariest night of the year.
Yeah.
Now it's election night.
Question. If con is opposite of pro, then isn't Congress the opposite of progress?
That was by John Stewart.
I liked it.
I love John. Being president is like running a cemetery. You got a lot of people under you, and nobody's listening. And that one was by Bill Clinton. He really had a funny little sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a weekly rant.
Okay.
I love this one. This is from Cracked.com.
Ooh.
These are the 6 dirtiest tricks politicians use to make you like them.
Oh.
By a very gifted writer named Kathy Benjamin.
Okay.
In a perfect world, all voters would have the time and intelligence to sit down and pore over a politician's background and stances on issues. But this is America, and we like our news the way we like our food, fast and kind of disgusting.
Ooh.
That's why in every election, politicians keep serving us up the same menu, stuff that has nothing to do with their ability to lead. And we keep swallowing it down as if Burger King just released a new Frankenfood. It all starts with...
Number 6. Their parents' or grandparents' job. I'd like to tell you about my grandmother. She's a great woman. She was a widowed young and raised 3 boys on her own in one of the poorest areas of rural Kentucky, all while holding down a job cooking meals at the local hospitals and practicing her ninja spin kicks. This information has not affected my life in any real way, but if I ever decide to run for office, that right there is gold.
You see this all the time in debates. One by one, the candidates will bring up the tragic backstory of a parent or grandparent, each one trying to outdo the other. Here's Ted Cruz from one of this year's many Republican debates talking about how his father left Cuba with just $100 in his underwear and then took a job washing dishes for 50 cents an hour.
It's a good thing he included the underwear detail. Without it, how would people know what to think about the candidate's plan to balance the budget?
Dun, dun. Number five, they talk about their pets. Did you watch then-President-elected Obama's victory speech in 2008? It was about 45 minutes long. I assume he said a lot of things about bringing the country together and making it better and other hopey-changey stuff, but I only remember 20 seconds of it. It was Obama telling his daughters that they earned the new puppy that is coming with them to the White House. Presidents basically have to have pets to make them seem more human. In general, presidents need to have a dog. It was considered odd when the Clintons entered the White House with only their cat, Socks.
Yes.
That was what was considered odd about the Clinton presidency? Okay. I'll go for that.
You said that. Number four, being outdoorsy. According to people whose job it is to know this stuff, only 6% of Americans went hunting in 2011. But you would never know it from the number of stage photos of foolish politicians gun in hand ready to take the life of an animal in hopes of getting more votes. I don't think you have to be a hemp-wearing vegan to find that a little sick.
In 2007, Mike Huckabee went on a pheasant hunt that was conveniently taped. He wasted no time in showing off the three birds he killed on his YouTube page. He didn't kill them on his YouTube page. He showed them on his YouTube page as he was killing.
It would have been more fun if he showed them getting killed. There anyways.
Yeah.
But that pales in comparison to the shoot that went on in 2015 where he actually exploded a bird. His people were so excited about this that they actually put it in the ad. Take that, ISIS.
Yeah. That was...
John Kerry went over to Youngstown during his presidential run. Went out and bought all his brand new hunting stuff, bought a brand new gun, went out, you hear boom, boom, and then they're coming back with like three birds. And everybody that was in the area is like, What?
Hunting in Youngstown?
Yeah. But it was like just so funny because, you know, if anybody's ever goose hunt, you got to have patience and be in the right place at the right time. You ain't going to go out in 5 or 10 minutes and turn around and come back with birds.
Oh.
You got to be in that blind, hidden, well taken care of. So that was one of those another you were talking about. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was that photo op. You know, let's go get these birds.
Right.
Too funny.
Number three.
Yes.
Eating in diners. What the heck is up with politicians and diners? Do they know there are other places to eat in the world? Are their doctors concerned that they're all suffering from severe grease and kitsch deficiency? How stupid do they think we are? Don't answer that.
Politicians, it's enough. We get it. You want us to think you're just normal local and you know all the down-home places to eat. But Yelp isn't a secret only your campaign manager knows about. You are not fooling anyone.
It's gotten to the point where even diner owners themselves can't take it anymore. During the 2012 primaries, a diner in New Hampshire put up a sign letting politicians know that they weren't welcome. And when interviewed, one employee compared them to hobos.
Yeah, walking around wanting a handout. Yeah, I like that.
I still remember Obama going to Five Guys, though. They did a whole thing with Peter Jennings, and he rode along, and he went to Five Guys, and... was eating greasy hamburgers that Michelle didn't want him to have. And
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that they fly in their pizzas from Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. They get pizzas from Chicago every now and then, and they're flown in specially for them.
Jeez.
Number two, faking local accents. If a politician wants to get a two-for-one deal, then they can go to the diner and slip into the local accent. This is the best way. They know how to beat you over the head with their folkiness. The problem is it's usually northern politicians sipping into a southern accent, which makes them sound like they've had some moderate severe head trauma. True.
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 And my favorite one, pretending to know about sports. Aside from Gerald Ford, we have never expected our politicians to be sports stars. But because sports reminds us of achievement, leadership, power, politicians keep trying so hard to look like they know what the heck they're doing. And it makes for some most entertaining political moments ever.
Pity Barack Obama, who looked so cool playing basketball on the campaign trail, but once he became president, was forced to go outside his comfort zone and throw out the first pitch at the Nationals game.
And it was not pretty.
No, it was not.
This primary season, Donald Trump went to Pennsylvania and asked, how's Joe Paterno? The answer, of course, is that he's been dead for 4 years. And before that, he was fired in disgrace in the middle of his assistant's coach's scandal.
Yep.
Ted Cruz was trying to talk about the beautiful way sports is the same across the country and transcends our differences when he referred to a hoop as a basketball ring while in Indiana, the home of basketball.
Well, you might not be that far from wrong in Indiana, because that's like a ring. Ding, ding, in this corner you got no.
No. Mm-mm. Top 10 list.
Oh, which means that we have 10,057. Okay, good.
These are the top seven things overheard at the presidential inauguration.
Okay.
Number seven. Would you like fries with that, Mr. President? Mm. I don't get that one, but okay. You'll explain it later, I know.
No, I'm like, who would have fries at a president inauguration?
I don't know.
Number six, I don't care what the other presidents did. I want mine on velvet. Ooh.
No, Elvis, velvet Elvis. His painting, his portrait on velvet. It's not what you think. Five, Tony Buck says he bursts into flames the second his hand touches that Bible. Oops.
Ooh. Number four, if the president wants Merrick McCheese to give a speech, Merrick McCheese gives a speech.
Number three, false alarm. Please calm down, everyone. The president was not shot. It was just Michael Bolton singing.
Number two, no, that's not Al Gore Memorial. That's actually Al Gore.
Oh, poor man. And the number one thing overheard at the presidential inauguration.
What the? Stop him. He's taking the oath from the Domino's pizza guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Well, you know what?
What?
We're going to just do another top 10.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, this looks really good. Do you see what I wrote at the top of this?
Yes.
The top 18-7 sign.
I thought it was the top 187 signs that your presidential candidacy is doomed.
No. I don't know what I was doing there once in a while.
Because there's probably 187, if not more.
Yeah, really. The keys stick on my typewriter. What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we are doing the top seven signs.
All right.
Your presidential candidacy is doomed.
Number seven. Your slogan is, stick it to the middle class.
And that differs how... Number six, your major source of campaign funds dries up in September when the Girl Scouts go back to school.
Number five, your party's convention is held at the Utica Dairy Queen.
Running on the chocolate party? I don't know. Four, latest popularity polls have you in a dead heat with Wayne Newton.
Number three, big-eared critters throws pie in your face during the Chuck E. Cheese fundraising dinner.
I hope the big-eared critter they're referring to is Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, I know. Not Ross Perot. Come on, that was easy. That was an easy one. Number two, attempt to generate campaign funds by promising to rename your new office falls on deaf ears at Ovaltine. The Ovaltine off. Oh, okay, I get it.
And the number one sign, your third-party presidential candidacy is doomed.
Everyone thinks you're a lunatic, and you ain't no billionaire.
Bada-bing.
Bada-bing.
Bada-bing. I'm telling you what, bada-bing, baby.
Yeah. But go vote.
Yeah,
that's the whole point is, you know, we don't care who you make fun of. Just so you do it in a voting booth.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's going to be a long, rocky ride yet.
I just like how every campaign season they bring up the same things, and then every time that somebody gets elected, nothing ever happens.
Well,
you know, the last 16, 20 years, every year we've heard about Social Security. We're going to fix Social Security. We're going to do this. We're going to. And they all get in there and they never do nothing. Hmm. I'm like, did I miss something here? You know, I don't care which party is. Nobody does nothing.
Nobody does nothing?
I mean, they sit up there. They sit up there with their. PACs and other people and collecting money.
It was interesting. Have you ever heard of Scarborough Research?
No, I have not.
They're one of those research firms, and they're funny. They send you a little research questionnaire, and they put a dollar in the envelope so that you'll feel guilty and actually fill it out. And yes, I fall for it every time. And if you fill it out and send it in, then they send you $5 and another survey. And this can go on. I think I earned up to $20 eventually. Anyway, the point is, I got this survey, and it was all about budgets and how to balance the budget and blah, 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 blah. And the biggest point was Social Security.
Okay.
And it gave, this is the problem, and it mapped it all out. And then here is the argument for the right side. And you read that, and here's the argument for the left side. And then it summarized. Here's what the right side says. How convincing is that argument? That was pretty darn convincing the way it was written. And then here's the left side. How convincing was that argument? Well, that's pretty darn convincing, too. Hence the problem.
You know, we all have our opinions.
I know. Hey!
And we know what opinions... Never mind.
What?
They all stink.
Okay. I found ruminations. We haven't had ruminations for a little bit.
To ruminate.
Yeah.
Okay.
From ruminate.com.
Cool.
Cool? Really? That's how you started this?
You know, I was pre-read. If LL Cool J became president, would we call him President J or LL Cool Prez?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or just sir.
Yeah, just sir, or sir president.
Sir president.
Sir president.
Mr. President.
What are we going to call Bill if Hillary gets in office?
First lady. First man? No, he's still a first lady.
We're just going to skim right over that. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask who knew that we were the first country to elect a president fluent in Yoda speak.
There you go. Who's Yoda speaking?
Ask not what your country can do for you.
No. What president can speak Yoda?
I don't know. Who said that? Kennedy said that. Ask not what your country can do for you.
Yeah. Ask what you can do for your country, but...
Right.
Okay. We should elect presidents...
I read them. I don't write them. Okay?
Technically. No.
Technically.
We should elect presidents solely on the basis of when their birthday is and the likelihood of them getting a federal holiday declared for them. It would probably help them to be born on a Monday. Wow. That's bad.
That's bad. So as we said before, just vote. We don't care who you vote for.
Right.
Just vote. And if you can't get to the polls, you can get the ballot in the mail.
Correct.
And do it that way and have someone help you if you need to. And there is no reason.
Yeah, we need everybody to go. Not, you know, again, this is not a political left or right. This is everybody go vote.
Yep.
You know, do your thing. And yep. That way we can all blame each other for the next president.
Oh, that's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we are...
Having an inaugural ball.
No. Together we are... Kat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks.